You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. A bunch of conference titles are on the line tomorrow, Tony. Have you ever won any titles? I'm Tony Kornheiser, Baseball Digest, sexiest sports writer, 1982.
Yeah, I think I got the cover from that. Yeah, Yeah, you were wearing like a Nolan Ryan Speedo or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody has ever seen me in any sort of a Speedo ever, and nobody ever will. Okay? I know where my weight is. I'm not doing that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, College Football Conference Championships, LeBron's return, and Brian Kelly's surprising new accent.
Yeah,
but we begin today with the Dallas Cowboys beating the Saints last night 27-17 as the Saints lost their fifth game in a row. Taysom Hill started at quarterback. He passed for 264 yards. He ran for 101 yards, but he was intercepted four times. Dak Prescott was ordinary, but the Cowboys didn't need extraordinary last night. Wilbon, do you feel this win answered the recent questions about the Cowboys?
It didn't answer jack. The Cowboys are a mediocre team at best. I mean, and by the way, don't tell me my man Trevor Siemian can't play quarterback for New Orleans when Taysom Hill, even before the finger thing, he was no good. He threw four picks. He could have thrown two or three more that the Cowboys dropped. Right? And the Cowboys, Tony, despite being handed the ball four times, they couldn't put any points on the board. Don't tell me the Cowboys are great. The Cowboys, everybody tells me how great they were. I told you yesterday, they look like the same Cowboys for most of the last 15 years. These aren't the Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, playmaker, Michael Irvin Cowboys of Jimmy Johnson. These are just the Cowboys. It's the same Cowboys we've been watching for the last 15 years. Stop. Somebody wake me when the Cowboys are any good. Because what we saw last night is not the time.
So I'm not going to tell you they're great. I'm going to tell you it's possible by week 15 and 16 that they'll be where they were in week 5 and 6, which is healthy and a solid playoff team, but not a Super Bowl team. They needed to win that game last night desperately because they had lost 3 out of 4, and the Washington football team has won its last 3, and they got 2 games with them coming up. So they needed this cushion so they could absorb losses there if they got losses. I personally think if Dallas wins one of those games, they will go to the playoffs. The larger story to me is, once again, if you don't have a good quarterback in this league, you can't win. Taysom Hill is an interesting experiment. You want him on your team, but you don't know that he can make the pass he needs to make when he needs to make it. We would all agree, Mike, that Sean Payton is an offensive, brilliant guy. But you can't make straw gold out of straw. He had Drew Brees for 15 years. He's going to the Hall of Fame. There's a reason Jameis Winston was starting early in the year before he got hurt. And Kamara hasn't played in a few weeks. That team is going down the drain,
Tony,
because you got to have a quarterback.
The Saints have no team right now. And the Cowboys couldn't even be impressive against them.
Okay.
So why should I think the Cowboys are impressive despite weeks of people telling me they're the prohibitive favorite to win the NFC? What? What are people watching,
crazy.
Man?
That's,
put the numbers down.
That's crazy.
Stop.
Totally crazy.
We move to the internet feeding frenzy on Brian Kelly, who some are mocking for what they say is a fake Southern accent he employed in a speech to LSU fans Wednesday night. Let's have a listen.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
Tony, does Coach Kelly deserve the mockery he's getting?
Absolutely. Totally. He deserves it. The way he said family, the way he said Tigers,
Tigers.
I mean, come on, is he going to, you know, I mean, that's it's just ridiculous. He's trying too hard to be one of them. Look, everybody does this to some degree. When the Beatles were really big and I was younger, I tried to affect an English accent. But
well,
I was a dope in a dorm room. I'm in a dorm room. I'm not in front of thousands of people doing it. I'm not letting millions watch me the next day, including us. Is he going to walk into a recruit's office, a recruit's house and say, y'all? I mean, come on, get out of here with this.
Probably. I mean, he probably will, Tone, the way he's going. And it's not even he's trying to be one. He's trying to ingratiate himself. And it's just like, I mean, you talk about textbook example of trying too hard. I mean, I don't know that I would have gone to social media to mock him. I could just laugh out loud when you hear it and say, what the hell's he doing? And if you're a family member even, you say, honey, dad, uncle, what are you doing? You're not going to ever be from Baton Rouge. You're from where you're from. What are you talking about? I don't even know if he
so
can
I got two
it to
things
sound
to tell
like
you.
A Hoosier. I think he's beyond that with a New England background.
I got two things. What? I had James Carville on the podcast this morning.
Oh, good. What did Carville say?
Carville is a native Louisianan and a graduate of LSU. And he's excited about Kelly. He said, for two reasons. One, two guys came from the north to the SEC and did pretty well. Nick Saban started out born in West Virginia, but he was coaching at Michigan State before he went to LSU. Doesn't get further north than Michigan State. Urban Meyer coaching in Utah before he went to Florida. Nobody says y'all in Utah. And he had, he had one other thing that I thought was fascinating. And Carville said that here is Brian Kelly from an Irish Catholic background in Boston. And he thought that would play well in Louisiana, where there is a deep and longstanding Catholic influence. He said that would actually help Brian Kelly. Mike, I found that so interesting. I really did.
You know what, Tony? We can wait for the results to pour in on that one. Well,
that's
but
right.
Look, he's already recruited right. Louisiana. It's not like the state is unfamiliar to him. But, and you know, he may learn how to, you know, eat certain dishes, and that may ingratiate him even more.
Crawfish etouffee, baby.
All with
just
hot
loaded
sauce.
On. LeBron James cleared the NBA's COVID protocols by reportedly returning 8 negative tests. Not one, not two, not three, 8.
I see what you're doing.
So he will play tonight when the Lakers take on the Clippers. Up the road a few hundred miles, the Warriors will have their rematch with the Phoenix Suns. Wilbon, which is the more compelling game to you?
There's not even a question. There's no compelling game in L.A. It's not compelling. It's interesting to people in L.A. If you're a part of L.A. basketball nation, you care about that. Nobody else, Laker fanatics, care. No, sorry. And this here network switched from that L.A. game, Lakers-Clippers, to Suns-Warriors part deux. And, Tony, I don't even think it's good. I don't know that it can be much of a game. The Warriors have to see this differently. They have to play with some urgency. They can't lose two games to the Suns twice in a week with a game and a half of it without Devin Booker. So Booker's not going to play tonight. As far as we know, I don't have a lineup in my hand, but he's got that hammy. He's going to miss a few games, sadly. I'm sad about that because I wanted to see that back-to-back dynamic, the two best teams in the league. The Lakers, the Clippers are struggling. The Lakers have been garbage. They've been nothing. They beat the Pistons, you know, and they had to really hustle to do that. And then they were in it against Sacramento in the first of those two games in triple overtime. They looked terrible. Don't tell me the Lakers and the Clippers are worth anything relative to the other game.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree on any point to that. The Lakers are a 12-11 team. They're playing an 11-11 team. You know, it's interesting in Los Angeles. That's it. It doesn't extend beyond Los Angeles. I get it. LeBron's coming back. He missed one game. He didn't miss 8 weeks here. Not with this thing. The interesting game is the other game. And it's interesting primarily because one team is 19-3 and one team is 18-3. And if you stop an 18-game winning streak, you are recognized as doing something important.
Yes.
I understand Devin Booker's not playing, but Klay Thompson hasn't played all year. This is the game that you want to see because the teams are better and there is more at stake. You know, Phoenix,
the two best teams in the league.
The Warriors have to prove something.
Yes.
The Warriors lost the record.
They need
to win.
They
got to go home and win.
Steph Curry
not
going 4-for-21, I wouldn't think, tonight. But I ain't putting anything past Phoenix right now. They're playing great.
Coming up, what are Alabama's chances against Georgia tomorrow?
And am I right that Iowa could maybe, possibly take down Michigan? We're going to ask David Pollack.
Every game, Mike. Every game that a team plays when they've won 18 games is more interesting than every other game.
Yes.
That's a lot of games.
How about your Knicks last night? How interesting were they? consciously with the Knickerbockers.
They were down like...
Pardon the interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Captain Morgan, part of Happy Hour.
It's college football championship weekend, so let's bring in our great friend from College Game Day, Mr. David Pollack, who's been with us all season, for which we are grateful. Let me start with this. We'll start with the SEC title game. It's going to take place right where you are now, between number one Georgia and number three Alabama. You played for Georgia. People need to know this. You played for Georgia. Do you like Alabama's chances of keeping it close?
I do. I think this will be a fourth quarter game. Listen, I played for Georgia, so I also remember and have the scar tissue from the Alabama games over the years, and it's been very, very difficult. But what does Georgia do best? Georgia does the best, one of the best in the country, second in the country in offense when it comes to tight ends. They got three tight ends, man, that are big, physical game breakers. Alabama's really good against two tight end sets. Alabama struggles with shifts and motions and speed and all that stuff on the perimeter. So I think it comes down to Georgia's offense. Can they continue to play at a high clip? I think we talk about Georgia all the time. We talk about their defense. Their offense is top five in the country. So they've been really, really good all year long. I think this game will be a good game, competitive game into the fourth quarter.
This is interesting to hear, Tony.
You think Georgia will win, right?
David doesn't overpraise his alma mater. He never does that.
Yeah, but you think Georgia will win.
I try not to, but I do think Georgia. I think Georgia's defense, this front seven is stupid, Tony. I mean, I think you got six guys in the defensive front seven that will get drafted in the first two rounds. I mean, they're unbelievable. Wow. And let's be honest with what Alabama's offense is. Their offensive line and their offense is as bad as I've seen in years and years and years. It's been a struggle. So unless they can change and go no huddle and spread them out and change who they are, I don't see them scoring a ton of points.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. I'm one of the few people that is giving Iowa a puncher's chance, David. I'm not favoring them, but most people are saying like a 5% chance. I'm saying like a 30% chance of beating Michigan. Do you see any scenario where I might be on the right side of this?
Nope. Maybe dumb and dumber-esque, like you're saying there's a chance. One in a million? Listen, here's the thing. I would give them, Michael, I would give them a chance if Iowa had something offensively do that they do well. Yeah. Do they run the ball really well? Nope. Do they throw the ball really well? Nope. So besides that, offensively, they're great. I can't see them. I think Michigan and their leadership, you know, Michael, I think this is a team that's suffered, man. Harbaugh, they've been beat down so much. They had a players-only meeting this week, and all the players got together and like, listen, that was a great week, and it was. We got bigger things ahead of us, and I think they understand, like, this is their moment. A lot of seniors, a lot of guys that have been through some bad times at Michigan, and now they finally get to show themselves. I think Michigan's going to take care of business.
All right, Tony, that didn't sound good for me thinking Iowa's got a real chance. Let's go to the AAC championship game where I'm going to just admit this. I'm rooting for Cincinnati. I want Cincinnati in the Final Four. I want them in the college playoff. But I'm worried about them and all the pressure that comes with trying to beat Houston tomorrow. What do you have in that game, David?
Well, here's one thing that Cincinnati's proven throughout the year. SMU, ranked team, a lot of pressure. Beat down. Notre Dame going on the road against, obviously, Notre Dame and what it is, huge point two game. Beat the crud out of them. They dominated that football game. They were up double digits the whole game. They were clearly the better team. Early in the season, UCF, same thing. Every big moment, it's been the smaller teams. It's been the Navies and the Tulanes and the ECUs where they haven't brought USF, that they haven't brought their great A game. So I think Cincinnati will take care of business, but that doesn't mean they're in the playoff. I think you better watch out, because Oklahoma State, if they win the Big 12, add another top 15 win, you know, Georgia beats Alabama, Michigan wins, Cincinnati goes in over Oklahoma State, maybe that's a toss-up where we talk about, do they get in, do they not get in, and we might be debating them versus each other at the end of this, at the end of the day, at the end of Saturday.
So let's go to that. Let's go to that. In the Big 12, it's number 9 Baylor and number 5 Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State needs a big win probably to have a shot at the playoffs. What's your circumstance with them? Do you think they get a big win?
I do, but here's the thing. We're talking about this, and I'm telling y'all chalk, and everybody's going to do this. And if this season has told us anything, I'm wrong. I'm completely wrong, because this season has been nuts, and it's been turmoil up and down. Oklahoma State, I thought last week, really found themselves offensively. Their quarterback, they trust him. They threw it around. Let me tell you something. This defense for Oklahoma State is so insane, it's ridiculous. I think the third down percentage they've converted, or offenses converted against them, like the last 5 games is like 13%. I mean, they have been playing great. They got some 6-year seniors. They got a bunch of experience on this defense. They're so dominant. I do think they will win, and I think they got a chance to make a statement. They played Baylor early in the year. It was a lot closer. This is a Big 12 championship game, big stage. Who looks better? Do they look better? Does Cincinnati look better? Everything's going to matter on this stage.
Thank you, David. Thanks so very much.
David,
as
appreciate that. Real quickly, who you got? Suns or Warriors tonight? I know you're watching.
Oh, stop.
I got Warriors. Stop, no this. Booker for a whole game. I will take the Warriors at home.
I think I'm with you.
Please, God, stop. You can watch more of David and the entire College Game Day crew starting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Let's take one last break, but still to come, the Thunder lose by a record number.
David doesn't just have to protect a shield like Utah. He's a man with varied interests. Will Oregon or Utah take the Pac-12 tonight? Not tomorrow, tonight.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was on tonight, because that doesn't mean anything for the playoffs, right? Nothing at all.
No, it really doesn't. No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday tomorrow, Sergei Bubka, the greatest pole vaulter of all time. The year before Bubka was born, 16 feet was considered an unattainable height to clear. By the time Bubka stopped vaulting in 2000, he'd gone over 20 feet. Bubka held the indoor record for almost 21 years. He held the outdoor record for 26 years. The Ukrainian won an Olympic gold medal, a bunch of world championships. He set pole vaulting records 35 different times. On 9 different occasions, just between 1988 and 1994, Bubka broke his own record by just 1 centimeter, because the Soviet Union would give him bonus money for setting a new record. So he moved the bar up as little as possible.
Tony, we saw him perform at least at one Olympics. I wasn't at the final. Yeah. I was the prelims because you bigfooted me. But that's okay.
Well,
you know what? There hasn't been a pole vaulter since whose name is even worth remembering. That's how dominant this guy was.
Oh, I mean, he is to pole vaulters what Jerry Rice is to wide receivers. He is. Happy anniversary to the University of Texas. On this day 16 years ago, the undefeated number two Longhorns demolished Colorado 70-3 in the Big 12 championship game. One more time, 70-3 in a conference championship game where presumably the other team got there because it was good. This was the Vince Young Texas team that then beat number one USC with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart in one of the greatest title games ever. It will come as no surprise that this was the last game coaching Colorado for Gary Barnett.
Texas was
great then. Not so much now. The Longhorns have made the Big 12 title game just twice since.
Get off my man Gary Barnett, who had greater glory elsewhere in purple, not in Colorado. And he's my neighbor now in Arizona. Love Gary Barnett. Greater glory, Tony. You know he had it. Rose Bowl, Wildcats. You know what I'm talking about.
Everybody's your neighbor in Arizona. Everybody.
Not you.
Happy trails
you're in an
to the
attic.
Thunder. Yeah, well, there are no addicts in Arizona. Oklahoma
no,
City
not.
Lost its eighth straight game last night, and this one was a whopper. Memphis beat OKC by 73 points, 152-79. And that's not a typo, kids. 73 points, the largest margin in the 75-plus year history of the NBA. Here's a direct quote. "Tonight is not necessarily who we are," Thunder coach Mark Dagnall said afterwards. "I should hope not. Memphis got 152 without Ja Morant. Memphis outscored OKC by at least 15 points in every quarter. So OKC's Mike Muscala said, quote, we didn't fight, obviously. You'd rather go out fighting. No Memphis starter played more than 21 minutes. The Memphis bench contributed 91 points, outscoring OKC by 14. This is a nauseating loss."
Yeah, but we saw Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Oklahoma City's best player, in a hoodie. If he's in a hoodie and not in a jersey, then that can't be a good thing. And they had other guys out, the prize rookie. They had other guys out. It's nauseating, Tony, it is. But there are some circumstances we should at least acknowledge.
It's a record. It's over 75 years. They set the record last night.
It's unthinkable.
Come on.
It really is.
And some of the Memphis people said, we're proud to be in the record books. Really? Oh. The story here isn't the winners.
I don't have anything to do with that at all. And by, you know, John Morant's not playing, their best player, not playing for Memphis either, and they still ran this up. Woo.
Here we go. Big finish. The Blazers fired GM Neil Olshey after an investigation into workplace culture revealed he broke the franchise's code of conduct. Your thoughts?
I'm going to spin this forward a moment, and I'm worried about my friend Chauncey Billups and whether he's going to take the fall for some stuff that happened before he even got to the scene. I hope not. And I wonder about Dame Lillard now, Tony. What he wants to stay in Portland, but what is Portland going to do? Are they going to seek to rebuild and distance themselves and change the culture? That phrase will be brought up as if those guys had anything to do with it. Mark Turgeon is out at Maryland. Danny Manning is in on the bench. Does that make any sense to you?
I was stunned when I heard this, absolutely stunned. Turgeon, over 10 years, has won two out of every three games. Hasn't done great in the NCAA, but they've been booing him lately.
They have
fans
been.
Fans are booing him.
And they say that
you can't
not
recruit
any good.
That way.
Yeah.
You can't recruit that way. Can't bring people into that.
In College Park.
College
they don't have
hoops. 7-0 Iowa, number two Purdue tonight. Who you got?
I'm not picking Iowa in everything this weekend. I got Purdue at home. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones out against the Dolphins Sunday due to a neck strain. Is that a big deal?
He's 4-7. He's like, they talk about Russell Wilson going there all the time. Is Mike Glennon going to be worse than that? I don't think so. Last one, Pac-12 championship tonight. Oregon at Utah. Utah already beat him once. Take a pick on this one.
I picked Utah when that was an upset. I'm going to pick him again now. It won't be an upset. Utah.
It wasn't an upset then because Utah was favored by 3. I remember the game. I remember the line. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
But Oregon was ranked higher. I remember the polls. And I'm Mike Wilbon.
Yeah, but the number was the number.
Knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen, and me duke it out on Countdown at 7.
PTI.
Sports Center.